Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, a lifetime without definitive expectations, where we help people explode into their lives through full impact mindfulness. We're looking to help people create their lives, not find their lives, to create their lives. And the only admission fee is the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. And if you have a few pixie dust sprinkles of each one of those, you're on your way. Welcome aboard. My name is Jim Ellermeyer. I'm a behavioral health therapist. And for followers of our show, our podcast, what we like to do, we like to showcase individuals who have particular talents and perhaps help people. We like to have people on this show who have similar mindsets as we do and try to help people help themselves. And today we have Mike Oglesby. And would you introduce yourself, Mike, please?
Hey, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm Mike Oglesby. I'm a mindset coach and hypnotherapist down in Myrtle Beach. I've been helping people in this field for a little more than 12 years. I primarily specialize in things like anxieties and depressions, OCDs, and, you know, fear-based models that people have and carry with them that hold them back from achieving the goals that they want, being happy, and really just kind of stepping into greater levels of their potential. So thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We were thrilled that you reached out to us. So one does not hatch as a hypnotherapist mindset coach, Mike. So how did you get here from there?
Well, you know, from a very young age, I think I've always been interested in psychology and the power of the mind. You know, I didn't grow up around anybody in the field of psychology. And in fact, you know, back when I was growing up, which I'm going to tell my age here, back in the 80s and the 90s, when you heard about somebody going to therapy, it was typically, you know, in this small-minded town that I came from, it was kind of looked down upon. You know, as if that person was, you know, something wrong with them, kind of like, ooh, stay away from them. And so I didn't really grow up with that influence, but I did grow up with a lot of mental health issues that I faced throughout life. And so I had this idea that I carried with me from a very young age, as far back as I can remember, that the mind is the most powerful thing. And if we really put our mind to something, we can do things that are just incredible. We could do anything that we put our minds to. And so I kind of carried that with me throughout life, even though I didn't really utilize that model of thinking or that philosophy. As I got older in my, you know, later 20s, I utilized what's called a Montgomery GI Bill, which is something you can get when you're in the military. And it allows you to go to college when you're out of the military and a percentage of it to be paid for by the VA. And so at this point in time, I'm kind of broke and, you know, I didn't have a job. It was kind of the, you know, the economy was in this strange state. So I was like, you know what, why not go to school? I can draw a check. So I started going to college, you know, to draw a check to get paid for it, which is a really good way to rack up, you know, student loan debt. So I don't necessarily recommend it, but that's what I did. And so thinking about, you know, what do I want to go to school for? I don't plan on doing anything necessarily with it, but what am I interested in? And so psychology was, you know, just kind of the obvious choice for me. So I started studying psychology. And a few years in, I was turned on to an NLP course, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is kind of like a field of psychology, not traditional psychology. But I started studying that, went through a certification course, which then led me into a hypnotherapy course. And I'm like, whoa, now that's right up my alley, because I'm one of those people that's very curious. I like things that are like mythical and mystical and creative. And so hypnosis really, really caught my attention. So I started studying that, went and got a couple of certifications in it, started practicing around with some people in the local area who happened to be friends or actually clients of one of my friends who was a chiropractor. And he came to me one day and he said, man, you're really getting some good results with these people. Why don't you let me set you up an office inside of my office and you can work with my clientele? And I'm like, okay, why not? And so that was the birth of Maximized Mind. And that was in 2011. And so I've been doing that ever since.
So tell us about your training in hypnosis. I find that absolutely fascinating, Mike.
It is fascinating. And there's many different modalities of hypnosis. You know, you got Milton Erickson, and so you got the Ericksonian, you got Capasonian. I mean, you got all kinds of different, you know, I guess approaches to hypnosis. And a lot of people don't really understand what hypnosis is. And so a lot of what I do is I teach people what hypnosis is, which is a very natural process. We think of hypnosis as something that's, you know, out there, but it's really not out there. It's just it's a method, if you will, of delivering suggestions, new stories, new dialogues for the subconscious mind to take and start to integrate so that you can start to change those programs and those belief systems and associations that tend to drive pretty much everything you experience in life. So it's a way of reaching that fundamental, foundational part of a person. So that's really what hypnosis is.
So if someone would come in to you, how do you deal with, what's your technique with hypnosis?
So, you know, a lot of people think when it comes to going to see a hypnotherapist or something, which, you know, hypnotherapy is basically hypnosis mixed with therapeutic modality, so hypnotherapy. And a lot of people think that, you know, let's say someone works with me for a month and they'll come in four different times. We're not going to do hypnosis typically, you know, each of those times. We'll typically do it once, maybe the first and the last time. Because when you do hypnosis, I typically will record the session, and it's not a dialogue. It's literally the person laying back with headphones on, sometimes an eye mask, to kind of get them out of the objective world, put them into that subjective world, get them in touch with the internal aspect of themselves. And so they may focus on their breathing, or we may take them through a relaxation. Or for some people, we may give them a mental task to focus on so we can get that conscious mind out of the way, which really alleviates any worries about self-sabotage. You know, if we send a new suggestion to the subconscious mind, but it's not something you necessarily believe in currently, your conscious mind may have a way of sabotaging that and say, oh, I don't think that's true. So we really need to get that out of the way, which is what hypnosis is. It's getting that conscious mind out of the way. And there's different ways of doing that. But working with me, I have found that hypnosis is very powerful on its own. However, it's not always powerful enough to help a person make the changes that they really want to make, because that conscious mind holds our most powerful resource and gift, which is free will, that gift of choice. And so if we're just working with the subconscious mind, we're not working with choice. And what we've got to do, if we're going to change that subconscious mind, we can send those new signals, those new suggestions to the subconscious. However, if we don't have an effective conscious mind to support those changes, we will typically sabotage ourselves and talk ourselves right out of that, or go and repeat the same habits that got us to where we are to begin with. So working with me is really a lot of teaching, a lot of mental work with the conscious mind, as well as integrating that subconscious modality of hypnosis.
When you talk about sabotaging yourself, which most people do, I often talk to people about the self-defeating words, the have to, I need to, I must, I'm better. And when we transform into the I choose, it's two most empowering words a human being can have. And I mentioned I have that tattooed on me. I also have a tattoo that says abracadabra. When you think of abracadabra, Mike, what comes to your mind, buddy?
Instant?
Yeah.
Abracadabra, instant. Boom.
Making
done.
Something appear. Actually, it comes from the Bible's Jesus time. It's Aramaic, and it roughly translates into I speak what I create what I speak. So 80% of cognitive behavioral therapy is about changing the language in the way you speak to yourself, the programming that you talked about. The cool kids call it manifestation or vision boarding, but it's been around since time began. And it's learning how to, what I call it is reversing the curse. It's learning how to speak to yourself like a friend and look at your thoughts rather than from them and understand that a thought is just a thought. What's your conception of that, Mike?
I totally agree. I think self-talk is probably one of the most important things that we could pay attention to. You know, when we talk about working on ourselves, when we talk about helping ourselves and the changes that we want to make in life, those are acts of love. Every one of those are acts of love. And so we need to bring all of our resources, you know, our the way we speak to ourselves, our actions, if we can align our emotions, or if not, then we can skip to the thought state and really try to bring everything into an alignment with that result, which is the result of love. And so I often say this because I have in, you know, one of the things that I teach are what I call the four golden rules. And these are new standards that we must, you know, set for ourselves in order to change our lives. And the very first one is be good to yourself. Don't beat yourself up for your mistakes and shortcomings. I mean, think about this. This is what we beat ourselves up for, right? We put ourselves down. We criticize ourselves. We berate ourselves. In short, we abuse ourselves because that's self-abuse, right? Most people are like, oh, well, you know, as long as I'm not hurting someone else. Yeah, but if you're hurting yourself, you are inadvertently hurting someone else, because the better you are, the better everyone is. And so by doing good to yourself, doing good and being good for yourself allows you to be better for other people. And so you do have an effect on other people, you know, based on the way that you treat yourself. And it's so important. And besides, talking down to yourself and being negative and critical, you know, in a negative way like that with yourself, it's an ineffective strategy. It's kind of like what you were just talking about. If we can think, you know, from an objective state, we can be much more effective. And, you know, one of the most effective ways to do that, as you know, in cognitive behavioral therapy, you're teaching people how to think strategically rather than emotionally, you know, rather than from that perspective that got them where they are. And so if we can be strategic about it, because nobody wants to feel the way they do when they put themselves down. It's like, I'm going to put myself down because I feel bad, which is going to make me feel even worse. Well, that doesn't make any sense, right? But we don't really live life from a mindful state. Most people live from an emotionally impulsive state. And I always tell people, you know, when you look back at your life, you'll find that the worst decisions you ever made were probably emotionally impulsive decisions. Why on earth would you live from that motto? It doesn't serve you. And if it doesn't serve you, guess what? It doesn't serve anyone else. And so we tend to make this excuse that, well, as long as I'm not hurting someone else, it doesn't matter how I treat myself. But it does.
Most definitely. That's one of our taglines, Mike. When I generally respond to someone on social media, my last sentences to them is, be good to yourself today and every day. One of the things, just like you mentioned, that I emphasize to people is what's good for you is good for everybody. What I try to help people do is, of course, like you do, is figure out what's important and to help them understand what the difference is between confidence and arrogance. I love that talk about, you were talking about acts of love and love for yourself. Could you say more about that, Mike?
Sure. You know, I think love is really at the center of it all. And I know it sounds cliche, right? I mean, you know, love is the answer, but it really, truly is. We all want to do better in life. We all want to feel better. We all want to have a better life. And all of that is greater expressions of love at the core. And so if we want better, if we want to feel better, if we want to do better, we have to love ourselves better. It all starts with the self, because what you hold within you is going to express outside of you. You know, even people that are, you know, mean or mistreat themselves and they're nice to everyone else. Well, what's coming out of them, the reason that they're nice to everyone else is because that's truly what they want for themselves. So it's still something from within them coming out. And so if we can start to work from a place of love in a greater way, everything gets better. We get better, and when we get better, the whole world gets better. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it works. And that's why, you know, the masters, if you will, that have walked this earth, they've all taught the same message. Yes. In a different way. But it's a message that's rooted in love. And the sooner we could adhere to that, the sooner we can grab a hold of that and realize it truly is the answer. You know, so many of our problems, they would go away. Like if you take, for instance, mental health issues, many, not all, there are mental health issues that are caused by all kinds of things, but there are also many mental health issues that are caused from people not getting their emotional needs met, not getting loved the way that they needed to be loved. You know, that was the primary reason and the driving factor for my mental health issues. I didn't get my emotional needs met. I didn't get the love that I needed. And not because the person or the people around me didn't want to give it. They didn't know how because they weren't shown how. And so they took that poison, if you will, and they allowed that to just kind of, you know, keep going down the line. And it's kind of like you said earlier, breaking that generational curse. It's time that we step up and take a greater level of responsibility and accountability, and we start treating ourselves better so that we can enhance the world. I mean, that's my take on it.
Indeed. You know, one of the primary things that we work on is self-concept, which is facts and information you know about yourself. Self-esteem is how you interpret those facts and information you know about yourself, which may be skewed, and identity formation. So what I talk to people about generally, Mike, when I have a new patient, and one of the first questions I ask them is, what's good about being you? And a lot of them don't have an answer, Mike.
That's sad. You know, well, and it is, it's a skewed vision. It's a skewed version of the self. You know, the identity is everything. Everything we do really comes from that identity. You know, what you believe yourself to be.
Sometimes I'll ask them, when they say, I don't know, I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know the difference between right and wrong? Do you have a moral compass? Can you be dependable? Can you tell the truth? And do you treat people with courtesy and respect? I says, those are the five greatest attributes that a human being can have. And if you have those, I want you to be proud of yourself.
Yeah, and I think people haven't learned how to express, you know, that goes back to love too. I mean, for a person not to be able to think of something good about themselves, you know, that came from somewhere. You know, who we are in this world isn't necessarily who we truly are. It's who we've learned to be. And so when someone doesn't see that about themselves, they weren't shown that. They weren't told that. And so, in fact, they were typically shown or told the opposite so much until they believed it. Man, that is sad. You know, when you really think about it, that is sad for a person to walk around and not realize that they have value and that they are worth, you know, the life that they serve here on earth.
I love the way you're talking, Mike. Love it. So, well, sometimes what I talk to people about is the core emotional concerns, which I consider a human bill of rights, and that's to be understood, to be listened to be respected, to be treated as an equal, to be given the benefit of the doubt and the freedom to decide. And I usually tell people, I said, if you're not getting these from the people that you associate with, then you're going to have to convince me why you're with them.
It's a great question. I tell you, you know, one of the probably most difficult things that I've gone through in my life is estrangement. And it's for that very reason. You know, I remember it's been about 6.5 years now, and I stood up for myself and my family. I come from a family that, you know, pride was a big thing. And you, when you grow up with these things, you kind of gain some of those traits. So I had to really look at myself and be honest with myself and work those things out. Because, you know, the reality is, just like the tattoo on your arm, you get to choose. You get to choose what kind of man or woman or whatever it is that you call yourself, whatever that is. You get to choose who you are going to be in this world. And most people don't know that. Most people are told who they're going to be. I always say that, you know, we're not taught how to think. We're taught what to think. And so people walk around with this identity that was given to them. And they become just a reflection of the environment rather than a reflection of who they truly want to be in this world. You know, the passions and the things that drive them, they don't really give it too much thought because they're so busy trying to be what they're supposed to be based on everybody else.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mike Oglesby next week. However, in the meantime, what we'd like you to do is get a better understanding of Mike, a better conceptualization of what he does at MikeOglesby.com. At the end of every podcast, we offer a free prescription, fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Unplug your television and take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that you fish without bait, a lifetime without definitive expectations. Do a kindness for yourself and do a kindness for another. Forgive yourself and forgive another. Till all are free, none are free. Namaste.
If you're interested in flying the colors of fishing without bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.